Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah 33. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Teach us, richly bless the preaching now, the hearing of your Word for the benefit of faith. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, where are the fireworks? Where's your party hats and your streamers? Why isn't the ball falling from Times Square? I didn't see that last night at midnight. Where's the party? Where's the champagne? For it is a new year. Happy New Year. Now, the enthusiasm is overwhelming from this side, isn't it, elders? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Out there, they don't celebrate the church New Year. They could care less about this day. They're waiting for January 1st. In the church, though, we ever celebrate a new year. And Advent, the first Sunday in Advent, begins a new church year. And the church year, fill in the blank, is about Jesus. The entire church year is about Jesus, and every church year is about Jesus. It's always about Jesus as we go over the life of Jesus, because we can't get enough of Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Savior. We can't get enough of Jesus. Every year about Jesus. You know what to expect this year. It's going to be about Jesus, because we can't get enough of Jesus. And today I want to talk about the Old Testament reading, which is the first reading of this new church year. It's the first word of God that we hear in His house as we begin a new church year. And we learn here in this particular short little text that Jesus is a what? A branch. That's our topic today, Jesus the branch. Now, isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing? Aren't we on the edge of our seats as we begin a new church here? Jesus, the branch. It's all quite unimpressive. Doesn't thrill us. And that's how the Lord wants it. He ever comes in humility. He wouldn't want the party hats and the streamers and the ball falling from Times Square anyway. That's worldly stuff. He's the humble King who comes wrapped in swaddling clothes, who's on a donkey riding into Jerusalem. He hangs on a cross. And now He comes in the lowliness of word and sacrament, giving us all that blessing and grace from heaven. Let me, for a little while today, have a little Bible study with you on Jesus the branch. There's much more to learn of Christ always throughout the whole church here. There's many titles for Jesus, many names for Jesus that we will look at throughout this church here, because it's all about Jesus. Today, Jesus the branch. Let me say four things as we have a little study on Jesus the branch. Why is He called the branch? First of all, we are to learn of Jesus' birth with this title, His origin, where He comes from, which is important. Whenever you hear about a branch, you hear the word branch, don't you naturally think of branch of what? The branch is connected to what tree? To what plant? It's a branch, but there's a trunk there, there's a tree there, there's a bush there. And what is the branch connected to? Where's the branch come from? The very term itself leads one to think of the origin. Where's He come from? And we learn that Jesus, as a human, comes from the line of David, as mentioned in Jeremiah. He's going to be a king from the line of David, the tribe of Judah. And He fulfills, of course, that prophecy. The idea here is that the Old Testament Israel, what was like a plant to God, a great tree or a vineyard. And that plant was flourishing under the days of David. When David was king, it was a healthy plant, growing, producing good fruit of faith under David. But soon after that, you have Solomon, and the plant's still pretty good. But then the plant divides. The kingdom divides north and south. There's problems when a plant divides. And both sides, the north and the south, produce bad fruit. Idolatry, immorality, injustice, they're producing bad fruit all the way around. And so God is the gardener. And if you're a gardener, you have a plant that's producing bad fruit and diseased as can be, what do you do with it? you cut it down. And God cuts down Israel because of their idolatry. He cuts down the tree. In 721, Assyria conquers the north, God cutting the tree. 586, Babylon conquers the south, Jerusalem is burned and destroyed, exiles are taken to Babylon, God is cutting down the tree. It's a bad tree. And it's just a stump now. It's called the stump of Jesse, Jesse being the father of David. Just a stump. And the question of the Old Testament is, are we done for? God's cut us off. Is there no more hope? Is God going to send a Messiah? Or has God just forgot about us? He's moving on to somebody else. And here we have the promise of a branch. Jeremiah says, Isaiah also calls a branch will sprout, will come up from the stump of Jesse, from the line of David. Even though it's a stump, we all have had stumps, and there's sprouts that grow off the stump. Because there's life there. Christ is the branch, the sprout. God will not give up on his people. God will create a new plant in Christ, the Christian church. God is faithful. God keeps his promise. Christ is from the line of David, but there's more than that. For at the end of the text, what is this branch called? And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. So here we learn more about the origin of Jesus. He's not only from the line of David as a human, but he is the Lord. He is God himself. So where is he really from? He's from heaven. He's the second person of the Trinity. A branch that's called the Lord? A king that's called the Lord? You better believe it, because he is God, fully God. Second person of the Trinity from heaven. And he's also from the line of David. That's where he comes from. He is God and man, that he might bring God and man back together. Because God and man are separated by sin. We sin, God's holy. And Christ brings God and man back together by his life, death, and resurrection. Reconciliation, all that to come throughout the whole church year. As we speak of the cross and the resurrection and everything else wonderful in this church year. We know who Jesus is. True God, true man, our Lord, our Savior. You know, this is a time of the year we have all these goofy, mysterious figures come out that we don't know really who they are. What really is a Grinch? What is that then? What's a Grinch, and why does he come out at Christmas time? I don't have any idea. And this reindeer with a red nose, how did he ever get a red nose? And how's the cotton picking thing ever fly? Well, where's this come from? And one of my scary figures I've talked about before, the abominable snowman. That where did that guy come from? This creature. And there's Frosty, and he runs around with his hat on. How's that happen? All these goofy, mysterious figures. Who are they? Where'd they come from? And who cares? Because we know who the one is who lies in a manger. There's no mystery. This is the Lord on high, God himself, who's now man. That man one day might be like God again, righteous and holy. There's more. When he calls himself a branch here, he means that he will bear fruit. Christ is not some dead old branch on a pile over here that's useless. He is a living branch. He's strong and he's alive and he produces fruit, which is food for us to partake of and eat and live. All that's implied in him being the branch from heaven. That there's a real tie back here to Adam and Eve. When he's called the branch, no doubt we are to think back to Adam and Eve. And how did Adam and Eve fall into sin? They ate the wrong food from the wrong branch. They ate of the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can picture Eve there taking, tempted by the devil, but she takes the fruit, the forbidden fruit from that branch, and she eats and gives it to Adam. He eats. And now there is sin, and there is evil, and there is death. And there's corruption, and there's more evil, and there's war, and there's disease, and every other evil out there. Mankind sinned by eating the wrong fruit from the wrong branch. And so when the Bible says Jesus is the branch, God now has a new food for us. God now provides a new branch for us, a new food that will give forgiveness, that will give righteousness, that will make us holy, that will bring us back to God. Bring us back to the Garden of Eden. And what is that food, that fruit that the branch Christ hangs down to us? You see, the branch is here. Think of the branch of Christ as hanging down with this wonderful food. It's his holy word that we hear. He's dangling the word as a fruit for your ears to partake forgiveness, salvation in his name. And the fruit is certainly Holy Communion. Here is the fruit from the tree, the fruit from the branch, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Here is the righteous, saving, eternal, good food that enables us to live and be righteous. And we're one with God again. A branch with food led mankind into sin. So a righteous branch with food leads man to salvation. And Christ is that branch. You know how many pounds the average person gains this month? Now, I might be a little bit higher, but, you know, all things relative, Melon. 5 to 8 pounds, I heard on the radio. Who's already gained 5 to 8 pounds at Thanksgiving? 5 to 8 pounds? We eat, by the way, no fudge this year. I've been begging for fudge for about the last 9 years. I've had enough fudge, haven't I? Pastor's going on a diet, no fudge, and no fruitcake either, okay? I don't need that either. Just we need forgiveness. What we all need is not all the candy and goodies. We need the food of God that we can feast on endlessly. His holy word, come and get it. His holy sacrament, this saving food from the branch Jesus that gives eternal life. Come and get it. You won't add any pounds. You'll drop sin. There's more here. Christ is a branch that burns and burns. After all, a branch is wood, and a common use for wood is to burn. And when I think of the branch, I not only connect it back to Adam and Eve and the forbidden fruit, I also think of the burning bush in the days of Moses. You know the story of the burning bush, the burning branches, we might call it. And the people of Israel are slaves in Egypt 430 years. They are like a dead bush out in the desert, dead, no fruit. And Moses sees the fire around that bush, but amazingly, by the grace of God, the fire does not consume the bush. Well, why that? And God says, I am that I am. This is God. This is the Lord. And that burning bush is a picture of God's mercy upon Israel and the church. For the branches, the bush is a picture of Israel and even us. Dead in and of ourselves, no life in and of ourselves, out in a desert called this world, no hope. And God comes in his fiery presence, in his holy presence. And yet God comes in grace because he doesn't consume us. He doesn't burn us all to hell when he comes. Or we would never pray, come Lord Jesus, come if he came and burned us to hell. We'd say, stay away, Lord, stay away. But he comes as that fire around the bush. He comes to us and doesn't consume us. He forgives us, renews us, empowers us. But he would come and burn another branch. And that branch is his son. And so Christ is called the branch because he is the branch. He's the one branch that indeed takes upon himself the fire of the Father's wrath. The fire of the Father's anger over sin. Yes, God gets angry over sin. God hates sin. But his fire doesn't land upon the church. No, his fire lands upon his son at Calvary's cross. And Jesus, for 6 hours there, hangs, enduring the fire of the wrath of the Father, the fire of God's wrath. And Christ is the branch who puts out that fire. Normally, wood does not put out fire. Wood just makes the fire hotter and bigger. Christ is a branch that puts out the fire of the Father's wrath. All God's wrath over sin, all God's anger over sin has been put on Jesus. Make no mistake about it. God's not mad at you. God's not out to get you for something. God got Jesus, the branch. He put his fire on Jesus. He put hell on Jesus. This is why Jesus was forsaken for 3 hours. Why Jesus cried, I thirst. He's burning up in hell. And so God smiles on us. God's no longer angry. He smiles. He forgives. His anger is appeased. Christ is the burning branch, having put out the fire of the wrath of God. When you think of Jesus the branch, you must think of the cross. When you think of Jesus, you think of the cross. The first thing you should think of when you think of Jesus is the cross. The two go hand in hand. That's why it's called the branch, wood, cross. The two go hand in hand. Christ crucified, Christ the cross. They're inseparable, where he saves us. What a God we have. You know, people in Tennessee are depressed this weekend. The bubble's been burst for who is not coming. John Gruden is not coming. Aren't we so sad? Aren't we? I mean, how could Gruden turn down the Orange? How could he turn down Rocky Top? Because John Gruden is not coming. I can't believe it. And I listen to sports radio some driving around. People are just shocked. How could he not come? Who cares whether he saves a football team or not? Do we care that a God has come? God Almighty has come in a manger, on a cross, in his word, in bread and wine, that God is here with forgiveness, salvation for you and for the whole world. You won't find that on the radio, will you? But we find it here in church, and we talk about it endlessly. And finally, the fact that Christ is called a branch implies there will be other branches. I recall the words of Jesus, John 17, I am the vine and you are the branches. We think of that too. So in the Old Testament, you have him being called a branch. We think of his origin from heaven, from David's line. But now in the New Testament, Christ says, I'm not just a branch, I'm the vine. I'm the trunk. What has happened from him being a branch, from him now being the trunk and the vine? His resurrection happened. He died and he rose, and as the resurrected one now, he is the vine. He is the trunk. And he brings forth, because he lives, he brings forth life to all the other branches. You've seen that in your trees. You have a big, strong branch and other branches growing off of it. We are the branches that grow off of Jesus. So we recall our baptisms in this great little Bible verse. We're the branches that sprouted when we were baptized. When you were baptized, here the branch Christ gave birth to you. You sprouted. You're alive. You're his. And we as branches now, what's our calling? As John, as Jesus says there in John, remain in the branch. Abide in me, Jesus says. Remain in me. Remain connected. What branch breaks itself off from the vine? What Christian would break himself off from Jesus and no longer hear the word and no longer commune? No longer be around. How foolish. You're breaking yourself off and then you're a dried up twig to be burned in the fires of hell. And also as branches we bear fruit. So implied in this great little text is the church bearing fruit too. You know, my advice, don't give fruitcake to the pastor and please don't give fruitcake to anybody else. I read where there's like one fruitcake that just passed around because no one really likes it. I'm kidding you that loads of you like fruitcake, okay? But rather than giving away fruitcake, why not bear fruit for people? Give them the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Bear that fruit for the world that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. May we bear abundant fruit. So, a little study on Jesus the branch as we begin the church. There's much more to learn of Jesus throughout this year. The branch. Where does he come from? His birth from the line of David, from heaven, the Son of God. The Lord is our righteousness. He bears fruit, gives us the great fruit of word and sacrament, hangs it down to us today to partake of and live forever. He burns at Calvary's cross for us, taking upon himself the wrath of God. It's appeased. We're forgiven and saved. And he gives birth to us, for we are now branches. May we remain in him and go forth now and bear abundant fruit ourselves. Praise be to God for Jesus, the branch. More to come. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.